meeting to order at 4:11. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready to begin?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioner Barrera? Commissioner Flores?
Present.
Commissioner Bell?
Present.
Commissioner Davidson? Commissioner Jacobs?
Present.
Commissioner Avila?
Here.
Jim Tickmeyer?
Present.
Keisha?
Present.
And Lisa?
Here.
Welcome. We're going to move to approve the minutes from February 21st. Did everyone have a chance to go over them?
Make a motion.
Would you like to make a motion?
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay. Do I have a second to approve the minutes?
I'll second.
All right. Yeah, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Moving on to, were we going to do the presentation of the Earth Vibes first?
Do I just stand anywhere? Or
yep.
Podium?
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So my name's Miguel. I'm here with a few other local organizers, Caesar, Ben, and Abram. We're pretty much putting together this event called Earth Vibes. We brought a poster, a flyer of the event. And pretty much it's an event trying to teach people sustainability, protection of the planet, make it as family friendly as possible. And we've partnered up with a few organizations. One of them is Sierra Club, the other one's San Bernardino Generation Now, SBGN, ICUC, England Congregations United for Change, CCAEJ, and I don't know the complete acronym for that one. And the event is going to be at Bryce E. Haynes, the skate park on EM 9th on April the 20th. And like I said, we're trying to make it as family-friendly as possible and accessible to everyone to teach about sustainability and the protection of the planet. And we were here to see if y'all would be able to sponsor the event in any capacity that y'all are able to. We do need some resources like tables, chairs, canopies. If y'all have access to them, we would really appreciate the help. We do have a budget, and we're taking care of as many things as possible at our end, but we would like for y'all to be a part of it since it is the Parks and Rec Commission and we're having it at the park. So if y'all are available to help or sponsor the event at any capacity, that would be great. I think that's it for now. Or do y'all have any questions?
I have a question. So it's going to be like, where are you going to have speakers that are there, or so, people demonstrating things?
So we'll have different events. We're have live paint, live artists there. We'll have seed bombs. So it's like kids will be making seed. It's like dirt and seeds. I don't know exactly the process of it.
Okay.
Painting pots. There's going to be tea making stations, also essential oils. So various just ways to learn how to be more sustainable in your everyday life and how to take care of the planet.
You guys, when you say seed bombs, you're not going to be, they wouldn't be doing any planting.
No, there's not going to be any planting. It's for the kids to take home. Yeah. There's nothing's going to be done to the park, change in any way. It's all activities for the kids to enjoy there and then to take home.
As far as committing resources to it, quite honestly, with the short notice, in order for us as a city department to be able to support, which we would love to fully support the event, but we can't arbitrarily make those decisions. That's a decision that's got to be made by city council. So how this process would really need to work would be that you would come in and submit the proposal through our department, and then I would have to go, I would take it to council and get approval by council to provide the resources that you're asking for. I'm sure if you're asking for tables, chairs, and canopies, you're probably most likely interested in like some sort of a fee waiver for a special event fee. Because typically an event like this that's open to the public and expecting to have 100 or more people, there's a special event permit requirement that goes along with that.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as providing resources for the event, what from a department standpoint, we could help you with the process of getting the event approved and getting it out there, but again, anything beyond that would take council approval for us to do.
What do you mean by permit? Getting the permit,
So the process for getting a permit would start with us, and then again, a special event permit is basically it's a permit for the usage of that facility.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have an event that draws the type of people that this type of event would draw, typically over 100 people, I would hope that you're hoping to reach more than 100 people. There's significant impacts and there's just a notification that needs to go out. Anytime that there's going to be a group of people of that magnitude, our police department needs to know about it. The fire department would need to know what type of setup you're having, because there's certain setups and layouts that you have to achieve to be in compliance with the fire department. If you have more than 7 easy ups, then you have to create a fire lane space. There's those types of things that you have to, the requirements that you have to meet in order to fulfill the requirements.
And is that on city-owned parks, or is that also with the Bryce Eve Park?
Well, any publicly owned property, we would initiate that. Any property that's owned in our city, and Bryce Eve Park is owned by the Water District, but it's programmed by our department.
Yeah, because, sorry to interrupt, because we talked to the guy that manages the park, and we gave him a heads up, we talked to him pretty much, and he said that we were allowed to have the event.
Did you talk to...
I think his name was David.
David?
So, something that we wanted to, I'm Ben Reynoso, from Severn New Generation Now. Really, not so much, we weren't coming here fully reliant on like chairs and canopies and things. We don't think the permit process will really be that difficult to get. But if you could basically just make sure the bathrooms are open, things like that. If you have like waste, you could give us some trash cans. Just things like that. That's a realistic like approach that we want.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do realize, like we've thrown events before, there are permits involved. We didn't know about that with the canopies. 7 canopies, like that's good to know. But also David did tell us this.
Is there going to be any food? Are you guys going to be serving any food at the event, or?
So there might be food. We still haven't established what we do yet. But if we do, it's going to be through someone who has all the licenses.
Through a vendor.
Yeah, through a vendor.
Okay. So that's, you still have to have, even though it's a vendor out there, that's when you have to have the permit. So if you're going to have a vendor out there serving food, I'm not sure if it's one. Mary knows more about it. She's out with her son today. But when you have vendors set up to serve food to the public, then you have a health department permit as well. They have to come out and do an inspection on site, make sure that they have hand wash stations, those types of things. So you might want to keep that in mind.
Okay. Yeah. We do that. Yeah.
So there's nothing you guys can guarantee, like trash or access to bathrooms.
Access to bathrooms, I mean, it's...
Always, right? During operational hours?
Yeah, during operational hours, the bathroom's going to be open for sure.
Okay.
Can we offer another dumpster? A front loader? Is that something that...
If there's already one there, we can't offer that without there being an impact. Vertec doesn't provide that for free. I mean, we could arrange it, but there's a charge, there's a fee for it.
We could. As long as it's not
you're talking about it. When you say trash cans, are you talking about
recycling bins?
Dumpster recycling bins?
Like recycling bins.
You know what might be a good avenue for you guys to go as far as that goes is contact Urban Conservation Corps. Because they'll come out and set up their recycling bins. They have the little wire blue top recycling bins, and they'll collect all the recyclables because they generate revenue off of that. At all of our special events, we have our big special events. We have Urban Conservation Corps come out. They set up the recycling bins, and then at the end of the event, they come and pick them up, and then those recyclables benefit their program.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And I'd like to thank you guys first for working with the community. That's good. That's fun.
Of course. Thank you.
I'd like to get one of you guys know if I could help personally. Donate something or so. You guys just leave your number, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. We'll definitely leave our information.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alrighty. We have a presentation by Parents in Action and Youth in Action. Welcome.
Good evening, commissioners. First of all, we want to thank you for your service to the city of San Bernardino. My name is Mirza Andrade Martinez. I'm a prevention specialist with mental health system. We work with community to reduce underage drinking and drug use. So we're here today to present a community action project. This project was done in collaboration with the community and American Lung Association, so I'm going to let.
Hi, so just as I had mentioned at the last commission meeting, we have been working with Parents in Action and Youth in Action, and they've been very upfront and they've been very hands-on in trying to pick up cigarette butts in the city of San Bernardino, and that's pretty much what they're going to talk about today and demonstrate. So I don't want to take too much of their time in the presentation, but just to let you know, the presentation that they're going to be going over is on the first side of their folder, on the right side of your folder. And so I will be translating for one of them, but thank you so much for giving us the time to present to you all.
Yes, and I will also pass around a set of pictures that you can circulate. This is just of the actual park cleanups. And we would love to collaborate with you guys. Thank you.
Hola, buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Viridiana Iñiguez y gracias por estar aquí. ¿Por qué queremos Parque Libre de Humos? De acuerdo a los Estados Unidos, los doctores en general dicen que no estamos expuestos a libre del riesgo de exposición del humo de segunda mano.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us here. My name is Viridiana, and I am with the Parents in Action. So why are we into this project of having parks with smoke-free? Well, according to the U.S. General Doctors in General, they say that there is no safe level of secondhand exposure.
¿Qué quiere decir esto? El humo de segunda mano no solo afecta a las personas que fuman, sino también afecta a mujeres embarazadas, a niños y ancianos.
So, as we know, secondhand smoke doesn't just affect the person that smokes. It also affects women that are pregnant, people that are older, and also tends to have kids born premature.
Cada vez está dando más el porcentaje de niños nacidos antes de tiempo por el problema de segunda mano. También se están dando casos que nacen los niños ya con problemas de infecciones en los oídos y problemas de aprendizaje.
So not only are children being born prematurely, they're also being born with either lung problems, ear infections, and also intellectual difficulties.
Ya que este humo contiene más de 7,000 químicos que a la hora de encenderse el cigarrillo, se activan estos químicos que no solo afectan a los pulmones, sino también a otros órganos.
So these cigarettes do contain 7,000 chemicals, and that's 7,000 chemicals when it's burned. And not only does it affect the lungs, but it also affect other organs in the body.
Cada año mueren más de 58,000 personas a causa del humo de segunda mano. Creo que esta es una cifra muy grande, ya que entre estas muertes están niños no nacidos y muchos niños con problemas, muertes de problemas pulmonares.
Every year, 58 million people die of secondhand smoke, and that's just secondhand smoke, not actually them smoking. And this also affects mothers and for people to develop asthma.
Yo soy una madre que tengo hijos con asma, y se me hace muy difícil ir al parque y tenernos que ir porque hay muchas personas fumando alrededor.
I am a mother that takes their kids to the park, and it is very frustrating to take my kids to the park when there's people smoking around me.
En el estado de California, han permitido al fumador fumar a tan solo 25 pies del área de juego de los niños. Yo pienso que eso no es algo aceptable porque el humo corre a distintas direcciones y siempre termina llegando a nuestros hijos.
So California state law does restrict smoking within 25 feet of the tot lots. However, that is not enough because we do know that secondhand smoke does travel and it can still affect us.
Aquí en el estado de California ya hay 206 ciudades que han restringido el fumar en áreas de parques o en centros recreativos.
There are 206 cities that have completely restricted smoking in the parks. So why haven't we done anything in San Bernardino?
Ahora voy a mencionar alguna de ellas. Es Adelanto, Appleville, Colton, Grand Terrace, Loma Linda, Rancho Cucamonga, Relands, Victorville, Yucaipa, Ontario y Fontana. En la página 3 encontrarán un ejemplo de cómo estas ciudades hacen ejercer su ley y cómo son las sanciones de cuando se violan estas leyes.
On the third slide, you will find all the cities listed that she mentioned. Those are the cities that have passed the policy no smoking. And also the ones that are starred does not include e-cigarettes.
Somos muchas familias involucradas en este proyecto que hemos trabajado muy duramente para que se haga realidad.
We are a lot of families involved in this project, and we have worked really hard to try to get this campaign going.
Porque San Bernardino es nuestra casa y queremos un cambio en San Bernardino.
Because San Bernardino is our home and we do want some change here in the city of San Bernardino.
A continuación, voy a dejar a una familia que ha trabajado por un largo año en este proyecto. Gracias.
In continuation, I'm going to give it up to another family member that has been working over a year on this project as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Elmer Losa, and this is my wife, Yahaira, and my two daughters, Jasmine and Sofia Losa. We have been involved in this project for 1 year. The reason we got involved was because we take our daughters to the park. We have to drive out of San Bernardino. We travel to Riverside, Fontana, or Redlands, because I know they are smoke-free parks. When we have been to the San Bernardino parks, we have seen people sitting in their cars, benches or on tables, smoking. As a community, we all had similar concerns. We decided to do something about it with the help of MHS and the American Lung Association. We got together one day and made a plan. We hope one day to have smoke-free parks in San Bernardino through outreach and education in our community. We hope to keep our parks smoke-free like our neighboring cities, Fontana, Redlands, Ontario, and Rancho Cucamonga.
As my husband was saying, as a group, we all worked together to do a litter collection to see what a bad problem we had in our San Bernardino parks. We did a total of 10 parks, which include Nunez, Delmon Heights, and Cheryl, Lytle Creek, Paris Hill, Secombe Lake, Spiker, Memorial, La Plaza Park, Wildwood Park, and Blair Park. On page 3, slide 7, we see the total was 30,259 cigarette butts collected. We were so concerned we decided to make an art piece instead of making more pollution to show what a problem we have with tobacco in our parks. The next slide includes different pictures of our community working together to collect cigarette butts. With hard work and dedication, our big group, children, youth, and adults work together in rain or shine to give an exact amount of cigarette butts. We wanted to show what a big problem smoking is in our parks has cost. The hard work that was made, we hope, helps end smoking in our parks. We as a community love San Bernardino and would love to enjoy our parks together freely without having the deathly threat that is smoke. Here is one of our hard working youth, Angela, to give more information.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Angela. If you flip the page to the next slide, there's some information, some data on some of the interviews, I want to say, that we gave out to ask questions to our community. And it has, one of the questions that you will see is if we would like to see our parks be made smoke-free. As you can see, the majority said that they would like our parks to be smoke-free. As you flip the next page, it asks if it's a problem, and again, there is the majority of people who say that it is a problem. And then on the last, it says if we have been exposed to secondhand smoke at our local parks. And once again, the majority has said yes. Now, on behalf of the youth, I will say that I plan to live in San Bernardino for the rest of my life, hopefully, and I would like to see a change. I have asthma. So whenever I go to the parks, it's a constant, I'm constantly looking around thinking, what if I get an asthma attack at this moment simply because there's a person sitting on the slide smoking? And I mean, as a child, I couldn't enjoy the slide or I couldn't enjoy the monkey bars because there was always somebody there who had a cigarette at hand. And it was really difficult. And I know that this is true for most of the people who have asthma who decide to go to the parks. Unfortunately, it got to a point where my mom was like, we're not going to the parks here anymore. We're going to have to go. We're going to pack everything up, plan it out, and we're going to drive an hour out to somewhere else to go to a smoke-free park. On behalf of the youth, I would also like to say that we are being affected, tragically affected, by all of this smoking around our parks because a lot of our youth learn about cigarettes or electric cigarettes at a park. I mean, I didn't know what a cigarette was until I went to a park and I asked my mom, what is that stick that he's holding? You know, what is that? And then that's when she explained, oh, it's a cigarette and people usually, you know, get addicted to it and they consume it over and over and over again. And I was questioning, like, why would they do that at a park? Like, that makes no sense. Cigarettes are, I don't know how to put it. Well, I mean, as you can see for yourself, they are everywhere. A lot of times you can't walk at a park without seeing a cigarette. At least here in San Bernardino, that's the reality whenever we go to parks. And I mean, it's crazy to think that all of the ones we picked up fit into there because there were so many more and it was just so dark outside we couldn't pick up any more. I'm sure if we were to go again, over and over again, we would collect another one of those, and then another one, and then another one, because it's a problem. And now I would like to refer to something that they said, the 25 feet from where the children are. We picked up cigarette butts where the children are supposed to be playing. Now think about that. If a toddler is playing and they pick up a cigarette, that's going to be the first exposure they have to something like that. That's crazy. And I think that should be changed. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time. I would just like to make a final
final comment. There are some community members that made it. We had an average of 30 to 50 individuals show up to the park cleanups, and every time we cleaned up a park, it was more and more people coming. So in my experience, you know, as a prevention specialist, I had never seen groups, so large groups, you know, come together for a cause. I want to commend them, and I want to say that we were collecting cigarette butts in the middle of the heat wave in San Bernardino. The day we did Socomi Park, the temperature was over 100 degrees, and these kids showed up, and we had to stop. We had to tell them, you know what, let's just go. It was just impossible. We were only there for an hour and picked up over 10,000. And the heat was just exhausting. So I want to say that in San Bernardino, you have amazing people, amazing families, and amazing passion and love for the community. So thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Contact images if you want to use
this. Just like two more seconds, I wanted to add something that they really have been wanting to ask now. Next step forward from the commissioners would be if you guys can invite us to these two park events, invite us to any community events in San Bernardino so we can keep educating the public. We would love to demonstrate our art wherever we go and just let people know about the risk of secondhand smoke and things like that, and hopefully we can be able to and move that forward into passing it into a policy. But as of right now, we definitely just want to reach the most community members that we can. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have your contact information, right? Because we do park revitalizations. We do quarterly. We're doing four of them at our larger parks. So we'll definitely get you that information. You guys, it'd be great if you guys could show up for the park cleanups. We do a lot of repainting, painting curbs, repainting signs, fences, bathroom walls, stuff like that. And I'd love to see that displayed prominently at all of our park cleanups because it is, there is no doubt that it is a problem. It's not an easily solved problem. You know, to change a culture and change the activity of park users takes a long time. It takes a concentrated effort and a sustained effort, and it takes input and activity by the community members that are at the park to, you know, start to, I wouldn't like to say enforce, but at least persuade the other members of the public that are using the park to, you know, hey, this is an area that our kids use, this is an area, you know, where people come to be outdoors and be healthy, and you know, if we can start to get that message out through the community, then I think we would start to see some change. To post a sign with a fine and expect that there's going to be enforcement action taken against somebody because they're smoking in the park at this point in time for our city is probably a little bit far-fetched, to be honest with you, but the effort still has to be there. I'm 100% on board with you guys, and if the commission would entertain making a recommendation that we implement a no smoking policy citywide in all of our parks, I would be more than happy to take that to council.
Yes.
So I'd make a motion that we make a recommendation,
yes,
to have council address the smoking problem and put a no smoking policy in our parks
and community centers.
So the
motion would be to direct staff. The motion would be to make a recommendation to council to entertain a proposed non-smoking ordinance in all of our city parks and community centers.
Is it already state law?
State law, and it's already posted. What they're stating here is accurate. 25 feet within any athletic, basically any athletic fields, playgrounds, tot lots, sandboxes, any place that's dedicated for a specific athletic or recreational activity, that's mandated by the state within 25 feet. but the open areas of our park, and like they're saying, you know, especially in, you know, you get up into the north end of our city where the wind's always blowing, you could be 250 feet away and still be catching that secondhand smoke. So to at least
post more signs, more visible signs maybe, or
posting more signs. Our signs now do say no smoking. But if we can really start to push it out there and make it a lot more prominent, and again, get involvement. I mean, it's obvious you've got a huge group of people here, and it's exciting to see the youth really getting on board with the non-smoking movement.
I'd like to thank you guys for coming out at such a young age.
Absolutely.
And coming out and speaking up.
I don't think I'd be going out on a limb here to say that there's probably not a person in this room that hasn't been negatively affected by smoking, either, you know, a family member or an extended family member that's been affected by it. So I think it's long overdue, and it's about time that we get on board with it and we can get something put together. I'll get with the city manager's office and the city attorney's office and see what it takes to implement that ordinance.
Great.
So we have a motion on the floor.
I'll second. All in favor? Aye. All opposed? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So now we have agenda item requests for future meetings. Roxana, do you have anything you'd like to add to an agenda for the next meeting?
Let me think of something.
Okay, all right. Charlie?
I was thinking maybe we could maybe have a committee and look into the parks and
Charlie wants to, for the future agenda, she wants to maybe investigate other cities and what their programming is in their parks.
Maybe do a committee.
You guys can, yeah, we'll put it on the agenda for the next agenda. We would just like to establish a committee to
So I have another question about Meadows Old Park. Who do we contact about fixing it? Because I went by it the other day, and the bridge is not done at all. It's like a homeless encampment there.
Yeah, we can
sucks.
Talk about that often.
Oh, okay, okay.
We need to stick to the agenda, what's on the agenda.
Oh, okay.
Here. But if you want to talk,
yeah, if we can
I can
to the
give
agenda.
You an update on
that. Oh, okay. So can I add that to the agenda?
You can put it on the agenda. I can. In fact, I'll just address it in my address.
Oh, okay.
Today.
Okay, yeah.
Because there's been
some. Oh, okay, cool.
Richard, I know you're new. Would you like to add anything to the agenda for the next meeting?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about federal grants, grant writer, if we know any, to get them on board and see if we can get extra funds.
That'd be a good conversation for
federal government or
so, agendize. Rick, I'll talk to you after about something.
I'd like to add looking into doing a Roosevelt Bowl concert series.
Singing?
No, just like music. Have like
thank you
guys.
Maybe like a 6-week concert series, like once a week on Sundays or Saturdays. It's concert in the park, and we get youth bands or you know, there's a lot of local musicians. It would be fun, a gathering place, and
summer concert series.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say this, but
oh, A lot of, I think it would be all ages. I think it would be amazing. It would be really positive for the city. All right, Jim.
Which one's Roosevelt?
It's the next team. It's the one in Harris Hill Park.
All right, you got. Is that it for agenda items for next week?
That's it.
All right, we'll move on to the directors. Well, you better say
well,
that.
Well, directors or report. Julie Dittmeyer, take it away.
All right. Well, I'm going to let.
No, go ahead. I'm good. I got time. Soccer don't start till 6.
So with our citywide events, we just had our Arts Fest this past weekend. It was successful, very successful, especially the Parks and Rec kids art table was jam-packed the whole day. What they do is they pre-make these little canvases, and then they give art lessons. So we provide all of the paint supplies and brushes, and we have some of our community center workers out there, you know, directing the kids with the art. They made 200 of the little canvases up and got rid of all of them. So we had about 200 kids come through on Saturday and do art project. It was a little bit windy, and some of the easy-ups ended up not making it through the day. There was an easy-up massacre at about 4 o'clock. But the entertainment was fantastic. Richardson, if you haven't heard Richardson Prep's jazz group, I think they're called.
Band.
Jazz band?
Jazz band.
They're phenomenal. They played at Disneyland. They do a lot of Motown stuff.
Wow.
Full on. I mean, everything is done by the kids. And, if you closed your eyes, you'd think you were listening to some seasoned professionals. So they did a really good job. In the future, what we're looking at, because it was at San Manuel Stadium, we moved it out into the parking lot as opposed to in the stadium like it was last year. Just because the flow of the event was kind of chopped up last year. There was a stage on the field, there was a stage on the upper deck, so it was difficult to find everything. Mm-hmm. So we moved it out into the parking lot to more of a festival style setup, and that seemed to go over really well. But our ultimate goal with the Art Fest is to bring it back downtown. We've got some life back in the breezeway now with the fitness camp there is doing really well. There was a nice article in the Sun about Viva La Boba, the coffee shop over there, and I actually talked to the operators of the boot camp this morning. I talked to them several months ago, and they were still having a lot of issues with homeless people setting up their encampments at night and them having to move them out from in front of the door in the morning, those types of things. And they said that, you know, with the increased activity that the coffee shop and them, you know, their group has added to the breezeway, that those issues have really become few and far between.
That's
so
good.
Working with them and working with hopefully Arts Connection gets the grant that we helped them apply for, and we'll start they want to start a art weekly or monthly art fest type program down here at Court Street Square, and then expand it out through the downtown area and include the businesses that are still in downtown and some of the new ones that are starting to come downtown and possibly have thoughts of coming downtown in the future. So I think that's gonna help generate some interest and some life back in downtown. Then we have our Cinco de Mayo event coming up, and if you guys didn't put two and two together, it's on May. That planning is going really well. We're getting the entertainment lined up now. I met with Manal Iskandar from the Green Shack, and her and her group from Musicology are really excited about getting on board and starting to help with some of the planning and organization of the entertainment for our events.
I'm sorry, what park is that going to be at?
That's going to be Court Street, downtown.
Oh, okay, great.
And community center events, they did a Black History Month programming at all of the community centers that went really well. There was about 400 total between the centers that attended that programming. It was spread out throughout the week. So that programming went really well. And then obviously they'll do, at the community centers, there'll be some Cinco de Mayo programming. I think the next is the Easter programming. Each one of our community centers, for the holiday, they do focused programming for that holiday. So they'll do Easter egg hunts at each of our community centers. Vertimont Community Center will be open by then, and the neighborhood association up there they hold a big Easter egg hunt up there. So we'll be working collaboratively with the neighborhood association up there to get that kicked off. And let's go over to Lakeisha for senior center updates.
As he did state, we are doing an Easter egg hunt for the seniors. And it's probably a little bit more dramatic than the kids because they do fight, push, and pull for Easter eggs.
What do you have in those eggs?
More diabetes, as we tell our participants. We will be doing a Cinco de Mayo program for both of our sites. We'll also be hosting Mother's Day brunch and Father's Day brunch for both of our sites. And then, of course, our normal dances on Saturday. We just had our volunteer recognition where we recognized 200 senior volunteers and about maybe 20 student volunteers that normally help us literally consistently year out last weekend, and it was phenomenal. The way I programmed it was sit, eat, music, give you awards, and go home. Well, eat dessert, go home. They literally turned it to their own program. The seniors got up, took over the mic, started doing karaoke, and were dancing all over the floor. They truly enjoyed themselves. Our next big event, other than the carnival we don't see as a big event. It's our Ollie McDonald Senior Talent Showcase. We have about 20 senior volunteers who will be singing, dancing, doing magic, doing comedy. Going to be a good show. I am opening the show as Tina Turner, as the seniors have me doing. So if you don't want to see the seniors, then come watch me. Our next big event, and we're going to turn it into a week-long event, we're going to have Superheroes Week. Seniors have to dress up as superheroes. So I am Supermom, as they all say. So I'll be Supermom for half the week. We're also going to take them to go see Avengers, the movie, during Superheroes Week, just to give them a little bit more incentive. It's not a part of my program because they won't give me any times yet, since the times haven't been posted. And then we'll be having senior prom, and they can dress up as legends, divas, or superstars. Should be a bougie senior event. And then, of course, we have our last dance of our fiscal year, and it's Welcome to the Jungle. We expect them to just come a little crazy. We haven't really thought it through yet since it's in June, but there's our theme. And we still have our food distributions going on for the community every second and fourth Friday at Fish Street and every third Friday at Parasol Senior. Tell the community for help. Any questions?
All right, I'll go on to the project update. The renovation of the splat pads, for those of you that were at the meeting last night, and saw the CIP update, and or if you weren't, if you were viewing from home, Alex from Public Works gave a very thorough update on the CIP and where we're at on the projects. The renovation of the splash pads has begun. They've done the demo at Tom Minor. I believe they're starting the demo at Wildwood Park. They're starting to install the aqua block drainage system at Tom Minor, and then they'll go on to Wildwood Park. Again, Rick, if you aren't aware of what is included in that renovation of the splash pads, we had four splash pads in the city. We had one at Wildwood Park, one at Tom Minor Park, one at Ancherelle's, and one at Wildwood. But none of them could be operated because they all drained into the city sewer system. Mm-hmm. So we looked into converting those over to a recovery system or a recycle system, and the numbers just came back so high for the conversion that it was beneficial to just replace the whole thing. So we're replacing all four of the splash pads with completely new equipment, new concrete, and they're putting an aqua block system
underneath, which is, it looks like a bunch of milk crates, but it's a giant pit, so it'll hold the water and then leach the water back into the water table.
How big are the tanks?
They're, you know what, they're designed, they're specifically engineered for each of the splash pads, because they base it off of the number of amenities that you have there. So if you've got 15 amenities, then there's a certain size. If you've got 10, so the GPM, or the gallons per minute, is how they base that, how they base the size of that. It turns out to be, it's not really a tank when they put it in. It's like 2 foot by 4 foot blocks, mm-hmm. and they stack them all up in there. But it does create a pit that contains that water. And what they engineered it to do was engineered it to retain 48 hours of continuous use and without any percolation at all. So with the percolation rates that we have, especially up in the north end, I mean, the water is just going to fly out of there. We're going to operate them typically about 8 hours per day. And the new systems that we have, we're going to be able to program, and it'll go through cycles. So the way that they were set up before, pretty much everything was on or everything was off. So if you've got 15 different amenities in there, all 15 of them were pumping water at the same time. And what this one will do now is when you hit the controller, it'll go through a cycle so that there's two of the things going at one time, and then it'll stay on for however long we program it, 15 seconds, 20 seconds, and then it'll rotate to another. So you conserve water that way, and then it doesn't overload that percolation pit that's in there too. So they'll be good splash pads. If they stay on schedule, which they're trying to right now, they'll be ready to go at the beginning of summer. So we'll program them along with our aquatic centers. And then Second Lake and Roosevelt Bowl security fencing. So it's security fencing, the restroom renovations at both sites. So it's renovation of three women's restrooms and three men's restrooms. Two of them are at Second Lake in the ball field area, and then the one at Paris Hill by the bowl. They're 100% complete. They did the walkthrough at Second Lake yesterday. There's a little bit of work that needs to be done by city staff to clean up some things, and then we'll be opening that facility back up to the league. I notified them that Wednesday of next week they can go back in. So they're going to have all new restrooms. All of the concrete was blown out. I think it was around 30,000 square feet of concrete that was demoed and replaced because trees had buckled them up, and we had several toe stubbers out there and cracks. And so they got all new concrete, new restrooms, and the area now around the baseball fields is fully enclosed. And for the time being, we're keeping it locked, and it's for the use of the baseball leagues.
That's at Secum?
That's at Secum on the 7th Street side.
You're putting the fence up too, all the way around?
Not all the way around the park, just the baseball area. There was 2,200 lineal feet was that project.
Can we put one around the park?
We can do anything. It's a matter of...
Well, that's why I want to try and get some funds and maybe stock the lake again.
The lake, they stock that lake still.
Do they?
Yeah, California...
that was my playground when I was a kid.
They come out. They don't let us know when they're coming out. They just come out, and I'll drive by there and see a truck backed up there with fish flying out of the back of it. So they do it on their own schedule, but there's still pretty good fishing out there if you get out there for a time. But that's a full-on project. That's something that we need to explore Prop 68 grant funding for. That's coming out. The applications are about to open, and I think they're going to be due by the end of summer. That's a grant program that has a minimum request amount of $200,000 and a maximum of $8.5 million. So we definitely want to make sure that we get a project in for that. And that's how we're going to be able to get those types of projects done. So those
can,
two...
Can
those
we
two
have projects. Multiple projects then?
Yes.
So we'll add up to, yeah.
You can have, we can have multiple projects. Each project award is $8.5 million. In the beginning, I thought it was an aggregate amount of $8.5 million, but the last workshop that I went to, they made it pretty clear that it was $8.5 million per project, and an organization can put in several. Now, I think it would probably be unlikely that the Office of Grants and Local Services would grant $3 or $4, $8.5 million projects to one agency, but
yeah.
It doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah, all I can say is no.
And then our playground equipment replacement at Six Parks, that project just finished up, did the walkthrough. They've all been released to the public. And Rick, what we did there was we replaced the playground equipment at Six Parks. About a year and a half ago, staff, myself and two of our staff members went out and assessed all of the playgrounds. We've got 32 playground units in the city. So we went and assessed all of them and ranked them in their order of need. So we didn't take ward into consideration. We didn't take anything into consideration except for the age and the condition of the playground. Ironically, as we ranked them and we started to go down through and put together a replacement schedule, it worked out pretty good for equality in the wards. But this year we did six of them, and what it included was complete demolition, tear out all the wood chips, install whatever curbing was necessary to fully enclose the play area, and then pour a 4-inch concrete slab at the bottom, and then went with rubberized tile surfacing instead of loose fill like wood and sand. And once we started tearing those old wood and sand fill areas out of there, pat myself on the back for going with the rubberized tiles, because you know, with loose fill, and you know, this is a good, their presentation is a good representation as to exactly why we need to go with a solid surface, because we cigarette butts, bottle caps, you
needles.
Name it, and need finding it in that loose fill, it works its way to the bottom, and the kids don't typically get to the bottom of those, of the sand pit, but to know that it's in there is, you know, that's a little bit concerning. So doing those, doing the rubberized tiles, as opposed to even the poured in place, with the rubberized tiles, we can go into the wear areas now, like at the bottom of the slides, and just replace those four tiles as they wear. Because typically with the poured in place, 90% of the surface is in good shape, but then you get under the swings and the slides, and there's a big hole. And you gotta, you know, you, that takes a specialized person to come in and make those types of repairs. This way, all of the tiles that have been, that were placed, they gave us the remainder of them. So about, they typically do like a 10% overage on their order for cuts and those types of things. So they palletized all of the extras. So we have extra tiles of every color that we have out there. That way, when something wears out, our guys can go out there and just glue a new one back into place. So should be in good shape on that, but all six of those are done now. We also redid two at Paris Hill. So, in this fiscal year, we replaced 8 playgrounds with brand new equipment, and then in our CIP for next year, we've got 4, and it's gonna change the numbers that we are able to do is gonna change, because we have 3 different sizes basically. And with 3 different sizes come 3 different price tags, you know. So when we have, like next year, I believe Wildwood is in there, and Lytle Creek on the north side. Those are 2 of the larger ones, and those end up costing us about $200,000 a piece. So, you know, we can't do 5 $200,000 projects, but we can do 2 $200,000s and 2 of the $135,000. So. So that's how we're approaching that, and we're going to continue to move forward with that. And then last on the list is Vertimont Community Center. We're tomorrow, they went once this week, and tomorrow they're going to be back out again to our, when I say them, our staff is going out and going through the contents of those containers out there to gather whatever equipment can be used inside the center, tables, chairs, those types of things. And we're shooting for an opening date of about, eight, I think it's April 6th is the Saturday after. It's the first Saturday. And we'll be completely programming that. We did a community meeting. We participated in a community meeting up there a couple of weeks ago, so got some input from the community on what type of programming they would like to see up there and what type of operational hours would most benefit them. Because what I found is a lot of our community center offerings were going on at times when people really weren't available to use them. Mm-hmm. You know, we expanded the hours at the Hernandez Community Center thinking, you know, my thought was from a, you know, formerly active guy, you know, you can see now I'm not as active as I used to be, but, you know, that's really our only gymnasium in town, and it was closing at 6 o'clock at night. So the adults that wanted to use the gym for basketball, just open gym, shoot around, play some one-on-one, whatever, they get off work at 5 o'clock, they get home at 5:30, and by the time they get down to the gym, it's closed. So we've expanded those hours and are staying open until 9 and 10 o'clock at night. The intent was to give the opportunity for those adults to have some athletic recreation in the evening, but what ended up happening was it impacted our other services that were, because we had some other services we put in along with it, and now the adults that come down there bring their kids, so their kids participate in arts programming and homework help and tutoring, stuff like that, while, you know, the adults are in there playing basketball. So that was an effect that I didn't really anticipate happening, but it's been beneficial for everybody. Tracy's getting 50 to 60 people a night there.
Wow.
So,
that's,
yeah,
great.
It's really good, and it changes the environment around the community center when you've got active activity going on there till 10 o'clock at night as opposed to 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
We were leaving before and we were getting, you know, homeless, setting up camps on the front steps and hanging out in the parking lot, and that's gone way down over there. So it's had a really positive impact, and Juanita is doing some, she's checking into some of the times, especially at Lytle Creek Community Center. We're struggling with participation over there.
Mm-hmm.
So she's evaluating the times that it's open and see if we need to shift that. So they'll be talking to the community about their availability and what type of programming they would like to see over there. We'll continue to do that at all of our community centers to make sure that we're, you know, adjusting our schedule to fit with the community needs as opposed to what's most convenient for us.
That's great.
For us. And that's it for me.
Okay.
I have a question. On the Verdemont Community Center, the April 6th opening, is it going to be like a grand opening, or is it just going to be like, you guys just open the doors and that's, is it going to be like an event type?
I'm working with the Neighborhood Association up there to put together some sort of it's not going to be a grand opening, because it is, you know, to keep things into perspective, it is a temporary community center. It's small. If we get over 35 or 40 people there, we have to move it to the outside. But definitely I'm going to work with, we have Kendall Hills Neighborhood Association up there and Verdemont Revitalization Association, and then the Verdemont Neighborhood Association. So I'll be working with them to organize some sort of an opening day event. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great.
We're not just going to sneak in there and turn the lights on.
Doors open.
All right. Moving on to the commissioner report. Do you have a report on
that? Well, I was talking to Jim about the Meadowbrook. That it's very concerning. You know, I don't know if you guys have driven by there. Well, I got off of my car to go just walk around, and yeah, it was really just crazy how it changed in so many years.
When did you do that walkthrough?
I went. Let me see.
What park is that?
Meadowbrook.
Meadowbrook. It's in downtown. I want to say like 2 weeks ago, like on a weekday. So yeah, there was definitely, you know, a lot of homeless on the sides, and then a lot of trash in like the water. And
so the
bridge was just.
The challenge with Meadowbrook Park is the park ends, when you're on the south side of Meadowbrook Park, Mountain View Avenue dead ends into the park.
Yeah.
And that is the center line of that street is, if you follow that, take that line all the way north to 5th Street. That's the boundary of the park. That's the city-owned property.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that you see in the wash on the other side over there where all of the homeless people hang out, that's private property.
Oh.
Yeah, that's private property in a protected waterway.
Yeah.
So our public works director is working on obtaining the permits to go down in and clean it up, even though it's private property.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get a permit from
Fish and Game.
Department of Fish and Game, and the Army Corps of Engineers is also involved in that. So she's working on that process.
Okay.
Once that, if she gets the right type of permit, the type of permit that she's applying for, it's a long process to initially get it. But then once you need to go back in there, all you have to do is give notification. So once that permit is established, when those things start to gather down there, she can just make a phone call and say, or send an email and say, we'll be entering the waterway on this certain date, and then she'll have to give a description of what they're going to do, because you're, even with a permit, you're not allowed to disturb the river bottom, and there's all kinds of restrictions.
Yeah, I've been there years ago.
That go along with that. But I will say that yesterday, our quality of life team and PD and Public Works did a massive cleanup over at Meadowbrook Park. They cleared everybody out of the park, closed the park, and cleaned all of that stuff up down there. And I met Monday, we actually have an engineer on board that we just awarded a contract to about 2 weeks ago that's redesigning that bridge.
Because
the bridge was burned down by homeless people.
I didn't know that.
The homeless started a fire underneath there and burned the bridge down. That bridge, I've seen pictures from 1938 that have that bridge in the picture. So it was prior to 1938. It has wood piles for abutments and support.
Yeah.
And so on the north side of the bridge where the fire started, it burned all of that substructure, all of that structure out of there and burned the floor off.
Mm-hmm.
So we went in and stripped all of the burnt top off of it and closed it off.
Mm-hmm.
And we did an RFP for a design build, but it came back at like $1 million to put that little bridge in. So we rejected the bids and went for design. So now what we're going to do is we have an architect engineer coming in and designing a new bridge, and then we'll get a bid for construction of the bridge. It's going to be a prefabricated bridge with a steel metal grate walkway instead of wood or anything solid.
Yeah.
Because we want water to be able to get through there, so it's not a shelter in the rain.
Yeah.
We're expecting the engineering to be done on that and the design probably in about 2.5 to 3 months.
Okay.
And then it'll go out for bid for construction. And that's going to be funded through an insurance claim that's going to come back and pay for all of that. So it's not going to impact the rest of the CIPs.
Yeah.
So that's
good
Meadowbrook.
To know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very, when I walked through, I was like, oh my God.
And the challenging part is that wash, because, you know, the perception is that that's a city, part of the city park. It really isn't part of the city park. It's privately owned, and code enforcement has gone after that property owner over and over and over again. So we do go down there and clean it up when it gets to a certain point, but, you know, daily maintenance of that, we can't do daily maintenance on somebody else's property.
Yeah.
Is that the river bottom then? The private guy owns that?
Yeah, all the way back to, so when you get on the west side of Mountain View, there's two parcels there. I believe they're owned by the same person, and the property line goes from the right-of-way all the way back to the angular block wall that is basically looks like a retaining wall for the courthouse.
Yeah.
That property goes all the way back through there. So it's his property, but there's...
I thought that would be like a county flood control.
I believe there's probably some sort of a restriction on the waterway. He wouldn't be able to disturb the waterway.
Yeah.
But I don't know what anybody would do with that property.
Right.
It's maybe a parking lot.
Just clean it up and just... Yeah.
Yeah, somebody needs to do something about it.
Yeah.
Another thing I'd like to add is about the Earth Vibes event that they came to talk about. I feel like even though we can't like support them, you know, with tents, chairs, or anything else, that we should still like show up to help support them in person.
Yeah.
I feel like that would definitely show them that we do care.
Yeah.
Right.
So
that's
awesome. So
and
it's
I'm
be
on board.
April 20th.
And the reason I got his contact information is I can help them out with trash bags and cardboard boxes,
awesome.
And I think that's what he was referring to, and that's what I'll talk to him about is when he said trash cans.
Yeah.
The portable cardboard. Mm-hmm. So you know, because you don't get six or eight of them in the park if you're going to have that many people there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, they're going to do a lot. Yeah.
But I'll definitely reach out to them and communicate and work with them any way that I can, and then also communicate with them what the process is to get full support.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, if we had more time, we could take some to council.
Yeah, what a great event, though, to have like a yearly Earth Day.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah, they want to make it like an annual thing.
Yeah.
If they do have a vendor, and would they, can they charge people, and that would be their little donation?
So from my understanding, originally they wanted to have like raise enough funds to be able to just pay for like the vendor so that everybody could just go get food for free. But the way that it turned out, the people that are supporting them financially, they weren't able to give them as much as they wanted. So, yeah, because I had asked all these questions as well. Because I was just like, so, you know, for food, what are we going to do? And, you know, and,
but
yeah.
To answer Rick's question, you know, if they go the right route and they get special event permit and all that stuff, you know, they could do 15 or 20 vendors and charge a $45 vendor fee and generate a little bit of, you know, revenue for their organization, for sure.
Charlie, do you
have
Well, yes. Let me see. Trying to have a monthly conversation with Delmon Heights. I haven't visited like I need to, but I understand they're, you know, doing a real good job. I get to see their information on Facebook and talk to Cheryl. I was at Ann Sherrell's Park Acoma. Is going to be involved with the Neighborhood Association. And so we were there in support, and we had a good conversation, you know, with all of them and their board members. 50 Van Johnson was there, and that was real nice. Uh-huh. And they're going to do a garden, and they've started already. And they have quite a bit of funding, you know, so
yeah,
they had hydroponics and stuff, you know. So I was able to meet with them. At last night's meeting, Trish said that the Public Works said the assessment had been done, I guess, for all of the city properties.
The assessment's been done. They've got to get the report back from me.
Okay. So I'm waiting on that for Nicholson. Right now for Nicholson Park, we still have the squirrels. We have a lot of overgrowth in the garden. I've been contacting several organizations, Job Corps, Cal State, maybe Key Clubs, to come out and maybe do some revitalization, you know, at the park. We talked about maybe painting the tables, you know, and stuff like that. Other than that, you know, pretty much at a standstill over there. So,
Charlie, do you use the Go Request app to put in CRMs?
I usually just make the call. Yeah, 7272.
Yeah, so you do that and they'll put a CRM for you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been reporting the rodent issues and stuff like that at Nicholson through that way?
No, I haven't, not since.
Let's start doing
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Because then there's, now that I don't have direct supervision or direct the power to direct our maintenance staff, I would rather you enter those in as a CRM, because
mm-hmm.
then it goes into basically the log of items that need to be taken care of. And the operations and maintenance manager, Ernesto, is really good about prioritizing those things and getting to them. He's doing the potholes, you know, all of the requests that come through that are operations and maintenance type requests.
Mm-hmm.
Ernesto is triaging those and getting to the right people, and it creates a record of what the requests are,
mm-hmm.
not just that you've made them, but if there's three or four requests at the same park for the same thing, he can identify that. Mm-hmm. And so I would suggest that you report it through 7272 or go to the Go Request app and report it that way, and that way there's record of it, and Public Works can manage that a little bit better.
Okay. Do we have a master calendar of the events that are going on in the city? You know, maybe in the parks, as far as volunteering? I want to set a date, but I want to make sure that there's enough people available. You know, I don't want to...
We have all of our stuff on our... for parks, all of our stuff is on the mm-hmm. parks website.
Okay. Okay. And let me see. I just want to say for the record, you know, for Sukhumvee Lake, we talked years ago. I've been on commission a little while. So we talked about fencing the park and making it a vacation destination. And we were talking about that money that, you know, might be able to get from the federal, you know, funding. I think that would be a good way to go, you know, for Sukhumvee Lake. We don't have anywhere to go, you know, in San Bernardino. We could do fishing, weddings. We could probably put some type of business there, little small restaurant. It would be perfect. So,
kind of like the MacArthur Park in L.A. They mm-hmm. redid that. That is, like, totally amazing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
UKIPA regional,
I think, is the same way. I mean, obviously, that's a regional mm-hmm. park mm-hmm. that's run by the county, but I think that's the same way. It's a you pay to get in there, and
yeah.
there's a little bait and tackle shop.
Right.
And
mm-hmm. How cute would that be?
That would be perfect, you know, because San Bernardino needs something to elevate itself, and that would be
I'll
definitely
fish
a
there
start.
Again if it was the way it was when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm. I was there too. And that's it.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have anything that you want?
No,
that's okay. I just had one question. There was somebody that asked me about what happened to the 9/11 tree. Do we have an update on that?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, there is at Hernandez. Public Works just finished, I think last week, the raised planter for that.
Oh.
So I will be getting with the arborist and scheduling a date for that to be delivered, and we'll put together just a small program.
Oh, okay.
Part of that.
Cool. Okay.
Under the supervision of our O&M manager, he's an arborist and he's very particular about trees.
Well, if that's everybody, I will adjourn the meeting at 5:24. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Make a motion that we adjourn.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay.
I'll give you any of those.
See you guys on April
18th.
Okay. Good to meet you.
You too. All righty.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good night.
See you, bud. Good talking to you, man.
Nice meeting you.
Thank you.